In 2 Corinthians 1, Paul describes the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Sounds good right about now, doesn't it? I'm Josh Larson, here with you on the Think Christian podcast. I'm sure, like me, many of you are turning towards certain Bible verses as we adjust to life with the coronavirus. For me, it's been 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Paul goes on to write there, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." What I like about this passage is the way Paul offers a vision. To borrow a word that's on our minds these days, he makes the idea of Christian comfort contagious. Now, because there's no such thing as secular, we've seen something similar taking place online in recent weeks in the world of pop culture, where artists and entertainers have adapted to offer comfort in new ways. Catherine Freeman and Joe George are going to join me from a safe distance of a few states away to look at two examples: Stephen Colbert's Light Show and John Legend's Together at Home concert. So I want to welcome in Catherine Freeman and start with a generic question we often start with, but feels much more loaded right now. Catherine, how are you doing?
I'm doing actually okay. I think the beginning of the week, it was like day two. I think I had a little bit of a freak out, but I'm doing much better. I created a schedule and I've been FaceTiming friends and family, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, sounds like smart steps we've heard being passed around for those to kind of bring some regularity and social element into their lives, definitely doing some of those things in our house too. So hopefully talking here will be a little bit of a distraction as well. And I got to say, Catherine, the whole idea for this show was kind of your idea. We were batting around what we could talk about in terms of pop culture and how it relates to the coronavirus. And you just mentioned this idea of the comfort you've been finding in various celebrities, various artists who are going online, often live, and offering just, you know, their art, their craft, but in a completely different way. So maybe mention a few of the people you've noticed doing this and you've been following.
Yeah, so John Legend, I think, and then Chris Martin did one on Instagram Live, and Debbie Allen offered a free dance class, and she's going to do another one just for kids. I've watched JoJo, who's one of my favorite singers, and she's gone live almost every day, which is awesome. Oh, and now, like, The Daily Show has figured out a way to, like, record episodes in people's homes with kids, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of this. My wife, Debbie, is a school librarian, so she keeps tabs on Mo Willems, a children's author. She said that he's doing live stream lunch doodle videos as well. Yeah, so we'll try to link to as much of that as we can for people in the show notes. You mentioned John Legend, Catherine, and that's kind of who we want to focus on, because he did do a live stream, I guess you'd call it a concert, from his home at his piano. It was almost an hour interacting.
He took requests.
He took requests, yeah. And interacting with the fans that way. What did you make of that performance?
I kind of loved it. I mean, it was him and his wife. And then I think at one point their daughter joined for a little bit. Her song was Beauty and the Beast. I loved it because it was just like so casual. Like, I mean, they were in robes and kind of just talking to us as if we were like friends. It created this sort of sense of like intimacy, even though we were, obviously we have to be physically apart, like social distancing. But I loved it because social distancing doesn't mean we have to be isolated. And so I just love that he used his celebrity in that way and gave us the gift of like a free concert and used it as a time to encourage people to social distance. He talked about some new music he has coming out. Yeah, I thought it was like a great way to connect with fans and like make people feel less dreary about having to stay inside.
Sure. Yeah, and it was almost a middle ground between, you know, trying to distract yourself completely without acknowledging what's going on, yet offering us something that isn't just kind of anxiety and despair. You know, he kind of found a place in between those two things And it's another example. All of these artists who are doing this sort of thing have seen them in a completely different context and trying to make sense of that as viewers, as fans. I mean, he sounded great. It's kind of a test of, you know, how much studio meddling some of these artists.
I know. It is like real singers and songwriters only. Because I think one of the fun things that he did, and then JoJo has done a lot, is like changing up lyrics and like songwriting kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think you're getting to really see artistry in kind of a whole new way and without the production and kind of stripped away. So yeah, real artists, real singers only.
Definitely. Yeah. And even though they have that talent and the ability, it's still putting them in a different space. So you can see when it's so weird when he ends a song, like with a great ending, and then it's just quiet. Like there's, you know, he's faced with silence. There's no applause. And I feel like there's a humility to that. And there's more of a focus on the music itself, right? It's not so much about the appreciation or the applause maybe, but it's about the actual music. Did you have a favorite song that he did?
I would say I loved him singing Beauty and the Beast. I mean, I could listen to John Legend sing The Phone Book because his voice is just so amazing. Uh-huh. But I loved that he did Beauty and the Beast. And I also loved that he sang All of Me with Chrissy, and that she kind of took questions because obviously he wrote that song for his wife. And so it was really funny when she was like, people ask me, do I cry every time he plays it? And she's like, well, by the time you guys heard it, I had heard it for a year. I did cry the first time when he whispered it to me, but a year and a half later and it's all over the world, I don't cry every time, guys. And so I just kind of love also too, just banter and her being a little bit more included in the background of where the song came from and why he was happy to obviously write this song that was inspired by his wife, but share it with the world. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, it was funny to watch her, Chrissy Teigen. You know, she was very involved, enthusiastic, and then kind of just sat on the piano. And after a few songs, you know, she's on her phone. I mean, she's got her own Instagram account to tend, right? And you do think pay attention. John Legend. And then you realize, oh, this probably happens all the time. Yeah. And then I also thought, I don't really want this, but hopefully we won't be in this place. But if a month or two, if they did this video again, it's probably going to look very different. They're not going to be quite so lovey-dovey, right? But let's hope we don't get there. The one song I really did like was his cover of Stevie Wonder's Love's in Need of Love Today, which was right at the beginning. I mean, it's not just a great bare bones rendition, but it's a nice affirming thought to choose that song, right? Love is doubly needed these days, and love is to be shared. You know, it kind of expresses that. And that's where it brought to mind for me the passage that I did quote at the top of the show, 2 Corinthians 1. And I just want to read one part of that. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And I think it's this idea of sharing of comfort, the sharing of love. You've already alluded to it with the comments that were scrolling down on the screen as he was playing. So many of them were affirming. A lot of song requests too, but even the hearts floating by, you know, it did create this digital community, but where an experience was being shared. And it reminds us that, yes, even though there is real suffering during this right now, and that needs to be acknowledged and given its space, we as Christians particularly are called to respond to it with comfort in whatever way we can. And just as we share in the suffering, we should share in the comfort however we can. So yeah, I found that Love's in Need of Love Today performance particularly moving to the moment.
Yeah. I felt like it's really selfless to do that just because, you know, a lot goes into being an artist and performing and writing songs and singing them. And in this time of the thought would be to be selfish and think about kind of our own needs first. And I think as Christians, modeling that kind of selfless, self-sacrificing love, whether it's staying indoors or checking on elderly neighbors or, you know, if you have the financial resources, giving to food banks that are feeding hungry people or helping neighbors cover light bills, all these things of, yes, we have been comforted, but it's not just solely, to your point, for our own comfort, but so that we can spread that love and comfort to others who might be suffering in this time. But I do want to ask, because I didn't ask at the beginning and I feel kind of bad, how you were.
Oh, thank you. Hanging in there as well, probably in a rather fortunate position where older kids, so I'm not teaching them, which is good because no one would learn any math But also, you know, more seriously, just fortunate with this job and my wife's job as well, that they're secure and can be done remotely. So just, yeah, trying to do those little things that we can. We live on a block with a couple of older neighbors. And so, you know, keeping in the loop with them and that sort of stuff and spreading that care around and that comfort around. So thanks for asking. Thanks for being on this episode in the midst of all your live stream watching. Stay healthy, okay?
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you down the road, Catherine.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Was, of course, Brother Stevie Wonder with his amazing classic Higher Ground, originally from his 1973 album Inner Visions. Did you know that Stevie played every instrument on that track? He wrote it in just a few hours and then used a range of then cutting-edge synthesizers run through different effects to create the bass and clavinet sounds, and then he played the drums himself. The song made it to number 4 on the US pop charts and number 1 on the hot R&B charts. Man, sounds like a home project that maybe some of us would be interested in taking on these days if we had a fraction of little Stevie's talent. And yes, you might notice the reincarnation theme in the lyric. Stevie was asked about that back when the song was a hit and answered that he wanted to believe in reincarnation, or at least that people were given another chance to get things right here on Earth. He explored all kinds of spiritual ideas on Inner Visions, from the Jesus movement to transcendental meditation. Definitely a man seeking answers during troubled times. Sound familiar? As we gather together to talk about contagious encouragement, I'm happy to have started the ball rolling with another corresponding Spotify playlist, wherein you will find that Stevie Wonder track, along with several dozen more. We've got a brand new track from the Psychedelic Furs, some Leon Bridges, ELO, The Waterboys, Simon & Garfunkel, Bob Marley, Bill Withers, Boston, Avicii, Sam & Dave with a soulful R&B tune that you'll hear a bit more of later here on the podcast, and a whole lot more. And here's the thing, I'm definitely keeping this one open and will be adding to it over the coming days and weeks. I really want to hear your suggestions. Tweet your songs of contagious encouragement at me, at John J. Thompson, and I'll keep growing this list. Find the link on the website or the emails you get from Think Christian and click follow so that it lives there in your Spotify browser. Then just keep coming back and playing it. It will evolve and grow over the coming weeks. When you feel the temptation to turn the news on or just need to brighten up your space, click and groove with us. Until next time, this is JJT saying, breathe deep. We're all in this together. So let's dance, pray, love, and dance. Peace.
Time to bring in Joe George. Welcome, Joe. What's life like for you today, I should say? Are there any small comforts you and your family have been experiencing during this intense time?
You know, there are. It's been a little crazy. My wife is a nurse. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So not only is she a nurse, the one case of COVID in our county happened at the place that she works, and she doesn't feel well. Yeah. So she's had a test. I mean, as of right now, she's been ordered back to work, not with patients, just
okay,
office stuff. And she's had a test. Apparently, they're more available in North Carolina than most. And the doctor said it doesn't seem like she has it. But
yeah.
You know, there's that.
You guys are on pins and needles in a way that a lot of us are not experiencing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, all of that said, there are comforts here. I mean, there's comforts in the sense that she was able to get a test and she works at a hospital, which means that she gets access to doctors more than some necessarily. And my day job, which I teach college classes, has been able to go online easily enough.
Sure.
So income's not being interrupted, which is not the same for everybody. You know, the kids are home with me, but it's 80 degrees right now here in North Carolina. We've got an okay yard. So, you know, kids are outside playing. We're doing okay, actually, as far as all things go.
Okay. Yeah. And we want to be mindful, too, that, you know, I'm in a similar situation to you work-wise and yard-wise. It's a little colder up here outside of Chicago. But certainly there are listeners we have who this has really been a severe stressor, if not in the area of health, in the area of employment. And so even as we talk on this show of places we can go to in pop culture that find comfort, we're definitely mindful that for a lot of folks, this is not just extra entertainment or even light diversion, but we hope that it can provide serious relief in the midst of real trouble. You know, so let's talk about one source of that sort of comfort, at least that has been for me. And it has to do with Stephen Colbert. It's kind of strange. You know, we've been doing this podcast over a year now, and we haven't yet talked about Stephen Colbert. I consider him one of Think Christian's secular saints. So one of these folks who just, they're basically doing the Lord's work while they're also connecting with massive mainstream pop culture audiences. And Colbert has been doing this for a long time. I've watched him since he was a correspondent on The Daily Show. And nowadays, I have to say, you know, when he had his own Comedy Central show, that was a nightly thing. Nowadays, I mostly follow him via the clips from his CBS show that my wife is constantly giggling at on her phone. It's like, if I see her over in another room or hear her laughing, I know she's probably watching a Colbert clip. How about you, Joe? Have you kept up with him since he made the move to CBS? And what do you think is sort of special about him as a comedian?
You know what? I haven't as much as I thought. Like you, I loved him on The Daily Show. I'm not quite cool enough to say that I know him like in Strangers with Candy days or anything like that. But from Daily Show on out, I loved the Colbert Report. That was great. And then when he made the jump, the loss of that persona kind of, I had a hard time watching him go straight, you know, there. And only within the past year have kind of sort of caught up with him again. And so I remember an interview with him talking about he started The Daily Show before Jon Stewart did. And he was doing it when Greg Kilborn was the host. And him talking about how that was a little bit more mean-spirited, that version of The Daily Show, and how he was kind of uncomfortable with it. And what I think is special about him is that he's been a satirist for most of his career, but there's always been a level of compassion to his satire, you know, that even when he's playing, you know, his big blowhard character, or when he was doing his bits for The Daily Show, his attention was always on real people and real people's struggles and trying to find the dignity of those people within power structures that hurt those people. And I think he's retained that. He's able to be a little bit more free in that compassion now that he's sort of switched gears. And we definitely see those in the most recent clips.
Yeah, you're right. When he, you know, just became himself, as much as one can be themselves in a late night show, that sort of edge was missing. That is maybe one reason that I fell away a little bit too. But you're right. It's more of an embracing of a sort of compassion that was always there, and maybe says more about me as someone who who likes that snarky stuff a little bit more, and maybe is a little bit convicting for me. You know, we talk a lot at TC about comedians as prophets, as modern day prophets, some purposeful and just some, you know, God working through them and their words. And that's a good distinction you make. You're right. When Colbert would always speak truth to power, whether it was satirically as his persona or now when he does it in his monologues, there is that edge of sort of compassion and a hope for change out of it and for a better result from it that I think is distinctive than just, you know, another comedian I love, Lewis Black, who just rages. You know, he's a raging prophet, and Colbert is something different. And yeah, as you were just about to mention, you know, before his CBS show went on an already scheduled break, Colbert had been working from home, as a lot of us have been, putting out this lo-fi variation of the late night talk show. And so the clip I know we want to talk about, he's on his porch basically doing his monologue. So I'm just curious what you've made of these to see these weird videos.
I love them. You know, they run the risk, of course, of being like that. I'm going to date us a little bit here. I don't know if how much you want to do this, but of that Imagine video with the celebrities that ran around yesterday where all the celebrities are singing Imagine, you know, and people kind of respond to that of, number one, that's a terrible song. Number two, you're walking around in mansions. It's not quite the same thing, you know, and it runs the risk of doing that a little bit where you're like, that's a really nice bathroom when he's sitting in his tub.
What you're saying is he's got a really nice house in what looks to be an amazing neighborhood.
He's got a nice house, that nice fire pit he's got and that nice porch. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of like, well, I'm sure, especially those who are like in an apartment or something, like, yeah, I could stay quarantined in that place too, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So it does run that risk. But again, there's that empathy where he's just, you see him vulnerable, where he doesn't have a laugh track. He doesn't have audience to play off of. And there's this weird glint in his eyes when he tells a joke and he doesn't know if that joke has landed or not. And I imagine for a comedian, that is terrifying. And so there's a warmth that's happening there where he's like vulnerable to us in this moment.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Like some of the jokes are kind of bad or they lean way more into like dad joke territory than others of his. But I ask myself, is that just because no one's laughing? If this was in front of a live audience, would we think this was a lot funnier? And how he responds to that is, you're exactly right. He takes that pause and he doesn't know what to do in that space either. So there's definitely a risk at play, a vulnerability at play that you do have to appreciate. It's just a weird experience. It's dislocating to see familiar material in an unfamiliar space. And I'd include, you know, the band leader for the show, John Batiste. They'll cut to him in his own house at his own piano playing some music. So it's at once comforting to see familiar people and faces and voices, but also jarring to have it look and feel so different. So, you know, Colbert is a Christian. He often talks passionately about his faith, but I kind of love it when you sense his faith, not in his words so much in those interviews that he'll give to other outlets, but more in his practice. And I think you get some of that in the at-home episode that he posted on March 18. Now, he does a monologue that has the usual, I guess you could call it, there's a faux enthusiasm for the ridiculous news out there. Somehow he's able to like make fun of these things and also be kind of excited about them. And one topic here was this supposed butthole cut of the movie Cats. Yeah. He spent a lot of time on that. But then he ends this monologue with an appreciation for how he has seen people come together amidst the coronavirus. And again, to your point, you know, he's in a very well-to-do neighborhood where there doesn't seem to be a lot of immediate danger or threat. But still, he says this, everywhere you look, people are looking after each other, getting food or cleaning supplies for their neighbors, regardless of what that neighbor's politics are. And I think that last part is key because he has dealt with political comedy pretty much his whole career. And I just think that putting forward this vision, a small vision, you know, a minor vision, he's not heading to a hospital like some loved ones we know, but it's a small vision of how to live right now. You know, it can be tempting to hole up and fend for yourself, no matter what your situation. So I think this is convicting what he's saying here. And it's just a particularly Christian understanding of people not necessarily just being politically affiliated mouthpieces, which we've all been reduced to in recent years, but rather human beings, children of God. And so I'm just wondering what you made of this sort of vision of Christian care and comfort that Colbert offered without kind of naming it that.
Yeah, well, it's not only that for me, but also it gets at what we do with art at this time as well. You know, you kind of mentioned at the top of this something about that we're not just looking for another form of entertainment. And I think for me and probably for you and for most TC contributors, pop art isn't just entertainment. We may be entertained by it, but we talk about it and we analyze it. And more importantly, we share it with other people because it inspires us. This isn't just a distraction for us. This is helping us imagine how we live in these times. And that's that prophetic element. And so, yeah, when he's out there reminding us that we're all in this together and he's giving us kind of the good news that people are caring for one another in this moment. And even his way of telling jokes in this weird, vulnerable way is his way of caring for us. That's art to show us we can laugh at this and be hurt at the same time. And we need one another. That's inspiring. And that helps me kind of double down on wanting to keep sharing the stuff that I'm watching and listening to and reading in these moments, not because it thinks it's cool or it's just funny or distracting, but because we don't know what we're doing right now. And this helps give us a little bit of direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a model, definitely. And all that to say, you know, these shows haven't been about Colbert getting preachy. I think he's staying as much as he can to the usual comedic script. There's a lot of silliness. I mentioned that Cats gag, as well as some pressure-releasing virus-related humor. He's not totally staying away from that. I'm wondering if there were any bits or jokes that kind of stood out to you or anything else about these episodes before we wrap up you wanted to mention.
Okay, I know it's a dad joke, but I'm a dad. I'm in a house with six people and five rolls of toilet paper yet. So every one of his toilet paper jokes landed hard.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it kind of made you a little nervous. I don't have any power over these things, but the nurses should definitely be getting extra toilet paper. I know that.
I think so, too.
So that's got to change. All right. Well, thank you again, Joe, for doing the podcast, for sharing, you know, especially when your own family is kind of having some extra tension there. We'll be praying for all of you in the days ahead and hopefully connecting again soon. But be healthy, okay?
You too, Josh. Talk to you later.
None other than Sam and Dave there with Hold On, I'm Coming. That's a song that reminds me of the phrase Christians share in trying times, come Lord Jesus. That's our hope, but what do we do in the meantime? Maybe we follow the leads of the likes of Stephen Colbert and John Legend and the Apostle Paul, who encouraged the church at Corinth that in Christ, just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So let's spread that comfort, grace, and mercy in the coming days, however we can. There's a lot of comfort to be heard on the Spotify playlist John J. Thompson has compiled for this episode. You've got Sam and Dave's Hold On, I'm Coming, also Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground, which you heard earlier, and a bunch of other tracks. Just search for the Think Christian playlist to find that on Spotify. Thank you, John, for putting that together. Thanks also to Catherine Freeman and Joe George for giving me a chance to talk to someone other than my immediate family members today. What comfort have you found in pop culture in the midst of the coronavirus? We want to hear your feedback so we can share it on the show. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Think Christian. Let us know there. Or send us an email, tcpodcast@thinkchristian.net. The Think Christian Podcast is a production of Reframe Media, a family of programs designed to help you see your whole life reframed by God's gospel story. Visit reframemedia.com for more info. Our audio engineer and post-production supervisor is John Reeder, and Reframe's co-director overseeing content strategy is Robin Baslin. Thanks so much for listening. We will get together again soon to consider how another aspect of our pop culture fandom connects with our faith. One more note of thanks to the Communication Arts Department at Trinity Christian College in Palos Heights, Illinois. They provided the recording space for this episode. Learn more at trnty.edu. And when you can get back on the court, on the field, on the track, go Trolls.